DW.
It's definitely made it more interesting, I think. The dramatic change, especially in the political direction that the United States is taking, I think is definitely on people's minds. At the same time, I would say it's not something that people are frightened about here. It almost seems that they look at it with an air of detached bemusement. And the whole summit is very forward-thinking. It's very much looking towards solutions, modern and very innovative solutions, both in terms of governance and in terms of technology, energy. It's almost through the looking glass, because here we are in a Middle Eastern country and they seem more forward-thinking and more optimistic at the same time when both in Europe and in the United States with the recent political changes, things seem much more inward-looking.
Climate change is also a big focus there at the conference. Is that surprising to you? After all, I mean, Dubai is part of the United Arab Emirates and oil and gas exports are really important for the economy there.
I'd say I've been quite surprised how seriously they seem to be taking it. The government of Dubai actually has a minister for climate change. It's something that they're taking very seriously, both in terms of the threat it poses for the United Arab Emirates and for Dubai, and also the kinds of solutions that they can pioneer to actually turn this challenge into an opportunity. And I actually got an opportunity to sit down with Jeffrey Sachs, who has been working on the issues of sustainability for many years, and I asked him to give his opinion on this.
I think one of the most important questions facing countries in the Gulf region is the future of an energy system that needs to move to a zero carbon base. We know that to achieve the Paris Climate Agreement will require what we call deep decarbonization, in other words, going from coal, oil, and gas to going to renewable energy sources. And I think countries in this region are realizing that that's a strategic issue for them. After all, the fall of oil prices now looks to be systemic, not just cyclical.
Yeah, and another thing that surprised me is that effectively the United States administration has very strongly signaled that they don't believe in climate change and so they should do nothing. The general sense was, you know, even if they're not going to come with us, we're moving ahead because we have to, because this is something that is an existential threat to our country. That is something that I heard from a number of people. One very telling moment of this was in a question and answer session with the economist Joseph Stiglitz. He was actually asked, should the international community consider the possibility of putting sanctions on the United States and the United States companies that flout the Paris Agreement if the United States does eventually pull out of this? That's kind of where the conversation is that we're moving ahead and what can we do about this big giant who may not be coming along with us?
So apart from climate change, radicalization was also high on the agenda, I take it.
Yes, I think it's always high on the agenda in any country in the Middle East. Fortunately for the United Arab Emirates, it's not a problem that they have directly had to deal with in the sense that there haven't been any major terrorist attacks here. But it's definitely something that they're fearful of. And the phenomena of radicalization is something that they do not want to see happening in their own country. And they're looking for any way that they can make sure that that doesn't happen. And one speaker here is a researcher about these facts. He's been researching it for a long time, is Ari Kuglensky. And this is what he told me.
United Arab Emirates, among other nations, radicalization these days is a problem that is a top item of most governments' agenda around the globe. As we are witnessing these days, the most extensive, the most dangerous wave of violent extremism in the history of mankind. And if you couple it with technologies, with possibilities of movement, possibility of transportation, the danger is indeed immense of disrupting the world order. That's why I'm here. That's why my colleagues who study this topic are here. We need to understand that xenophobia and erecting boundaries is only going to intensify the problem.
Pavlos, you said just before that there are open discussions happening. Now I wonder, given the political background where it's taking place, how much of a critical discussion is actually possible in Dubai?
It's a good question, given that it isn't a democracy in this country. It's effectively a monarchic system, so they don't have democratic traditions that we're used to questioning authority, to having different political parties. So how do they talk about governance, if this is the case? And I found one, there are these books that are being given out all throughout the conference, and it's been written by Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, who is the Prime Minister and ruler of Dubai. He says, I would like to point out that when we talk about the government of the future, we focus on the delivery of services and not on political structures. Different countries have diverse forms of government. However, they all work towards one goal, serving citizens. They're not talking about different forms of political structures. What they are talking about in terms of governments is how governments can execute their function. That's what they're interested in. On that level, though, they are actually very interested in different solutions on how you measure the success rate, the effectiveness of a government, how you make it more efficient, more adaptable. And then there is a lot of innovation, and I think there is an honest dialogue that goes on around that. They're not going to question who's in charge, but they will question how that person who is in charge can best serve their function.
What's the main thing you take home from this Dubai World Government Summit? Is it just a talking shop, or does it really make a difference?
Well, at a time when there are a lot of questions that have been raised about globalization in the West, I would say that one thing that I take away from this summit is that in other places, globalization is alive and well. Definitely Dubai is a city that has been built around globalization, and it is definitely, from the rulers to everyone else I met, they seem very open towards globalization, is that is the way for the future for them. I would say that the West has also become quite inward-looking and quite concerned about these problems and looking to the past. Whereas here, I think that still it's a very optimistic attitude, is that people, they're very much aware of the challenges like climate change, like radicalization, but they're very open and very optimistic that new innovations, both in technology and social innovations, will help them deal with it. And let's not forget, Dubai has also announced that they're announcing a Mars mission. It's very easy to get carried away with all this optimism. At the same time, the summit is very Dubai, and Dubai is an impressive city in the sense that from 40 years in what was effectively a collection of small buildings and a lot of tents and dirt roads, has turned into this almost science fiction looking city on the desert. That rapid growth is both impressive, but it also leads you to wonder how sustainable it is. Are the foundations solid? And I think that's something that only time will tell.
DW